I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Coming up in this episode.
So I'm covered in Brooke Shields.
500 kopecks, jerk.
Cats and dogs, I remember that was a kid's film.
Like, that is geese. That is geese to eat a cockroach.
They don't even give you toast.
Fried bread, mate.
In the Ghoulies.
Right, in the Ghoulies.
Thought he was clever, didn't he?
Yes.
Hello there, and welcome to the latest lockdown episode of A Mug's Gamebook, a podcast where I play through my old adventure gamebooks with excellent people. Today we have a very special guest, and the only person I've seen for what feels like about 4 years is my wife, Bryony. We're going to be playing through the classic fighting fantasy, The Rings of Kethar, which was a favourite of yours truly when I was a little boy, although I remember it being really hard actually and not getting very far. Will Bryony get further than I ever did? I hope so, otherwise it'll only be 10 minutes long and it'll be rubbish.
Hello, special guest, lockdown edition, my lovely wife, Bryony.
Hello, Tom.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
Are you going to enjoy this? It's not like we've not spent every minute of the last 8 weeks in lockdown together. But it's been good, isn't it? It's been fun.
It's been really fun. And we haven't yet played any fighting fantasy games.
Yep.
We have done a lot of other things, though,
done a lot of Netflix and...
Tom has mastered the art of making sourdough.
I've absolutely cracked sourdough. I've nailed it, mate.
Which is yum.
And as your special guest, you're my number one gal, we're going to be playing my favourite one as a little boy, The Rings of Kethar.
Excellent.
The lovely, big, fat, bald man on the front, like the one you married.
Pensive.
So, yeah, we're going to keep him, especially for you. You've never played these before.
So no.
That's fine. I'm first going to give you two die.
Two die.
Your two dice. Thank you. Always correcting me. That's fine. I'll give you a little rubber.
Cool. Stadler.
Yep. We're going to delve into the year 7 pencil case. And I'm going to give
rubber
you
rubber as well.
No expense spared, mate. A nice pencil.
Mm.
A Stadler pencil.
Norris School Pencil HB.
Made in Germany.
Auf Deutschland.
Fine German engineering in pencil form.
Indeed.
Only the best. Only the best for meine Frau. So we're going to make our way through The Rings of Kethar. And in doing so, you're going to be fighting. But unlike the rest of the podcast, Bryony, you're not just going to be fighting hand to hand. Oh, no, 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 no. You're going to have blaster combat and ship-to-ship combat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, because this is in space, baby. So to start with, we're going to roll for your weapon strength for your ship.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a one.
Yes.
Not good, really.
Oh.
So your total weapon strength is 7. If you just put that in your adventure sheet. And then we're going to roll for your ship shields.
Okay.
How buff you are. Oh, 6. There we go. The exact opposite. So if you put 12 in there, because you add 6 to it.
Okay. So the shield should be 12.
The shield should be 12.
Right.
So you're really buff, but quite weak.
Okay, so I'm covered in Brooke shields.
Yeah. Covered in Wellard shields. Now we're going to roll you as a person. Give me a die.
Just one?
Just one for your skill, please.
Woo!
6! Hey, so that means your total is 12. You add 6
Excellent.
To it.
Excellent.
So you are incredibly skillful, as if we didn't know that already.
Nice.
And give me 2 dice. Give me 2 dice for your stamina. Like how much health you have. And what was that? 7? Not bad. Statistically average, actually. Mm. So add 12 to that. So that's 20. Not bad. Not a bad start. And give me some luck score.
2 or 1?
Just the 1. 5. Hey, that's not bad. So your luck is 11. They're actually really good stats to be starting with. So
nice.
Well done. So, as I mentioned, as well as normal hand-to-hand combat, where we both roll, add it to our skill, whoever wins, wins the other, you're going to be engaging in a bit of blaster combat.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds dangerous.
Gunny. Works very similar, but instead of us both rolling at the same time, you just roll 2, and you have to get under your skill score. If you get under that, which should be well easy, as long as you don't get double 6, you've done it. You take 4 stamina off the other one. Hand solo them right in the belly.
Okay.
And then they do the same, and you do it until one of you dies.
Okay.
Ship-to-ship combat works in much the same way, except you have a special attack of 2 smart missiles.
Ooh.
Yeah, so put that down on your adventure sheet. Smart missiles. 2.
You
can use these at any time, and you just murk the other guy right out the sky. Just destroy him in 1.
Brilliant.
And normal phasers work much like a blaster, but you just take off 1. You also have 5,000 Kopecks.
The standard. Is that a K or a C?
That's K.
Okay.
Kopecks. That's standard intergalactic currency.
Nice.
So you've got 5,000 of those, and you've also got 4 pet pills, which is the makings of a good night out.
Exactly.
And they will restore 6 points to your stamina each time. You can take it any time. Okay. Can't take half.
Go on, have half. It's tic-tac. I love it.
So, Bryony, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for our mission to begin?
I'm going
to
try. Let's go.
The Galactic Federation consists of several hundred civilized worlds, all of which are signatories to certain basic federal laws and conventions. One of these concerns the suppression of trafficking in certain narcotic drugs. Simply, the export of narcotic drugs from one world to another is illegal. So you're basically playing a narc.
Okay.
The Federal Police Force has become aware, however, of an extremely large flow of the illicit narcotic Satterfield D from the tiny Aleph Cygni system. As the individual worlds are supposed to police these matters themselves, they have developed some concern that all is not well with the Aleph Cygni administration. With the obvious failure of the local administration to deal with this breach of federal law, your department, Federal Central, Vice, has decided to send a Grade 1 investigator, you, to locate the source of this drug flow, penetrate the organisation responsible, and then destroy it. Because of the possible untrustworthiness of the Aleph Cygni authorities, you travel to the system incognito, posing as an interstellar travelling salesman with a cargo of exotic off-world fruits, spices, and luxury.
Mm.
Once in the system, you are on your own. Good luck.
What's my name?
Your name is...
Shall we come up with a name? Would I be an inspector?
I mean, I sort of like, I liked this when I was a kid, but in light of recent events, I'm really not rooting for you.
Would I
You're basically You're basically a copper.
Yeah. But would I be like an inspector, or will I be going?
Well, you're
by
a grade
my...
one in investigator.
So maybe I'd be like detective, investigator,
DI. Yeah, you could be DI.
Chance.
DI Chance, that's
DI
good.
DI Chance. Sorry.
And in this universe, the current police force had been dismantled and replaced by a benevolent, non-racist faction.
Okay.
I love you. I'm just not rooting for you. Go.
Right.
5 minutes to hyperspace termination. Flashes on the command video in front of you. An alarm bell chimes softly through the ship. In a few moments, you will be entering the Aleph Cygni system and... there has been any criminal infiltration of the Galactic Vice Squad, there could be a very hot reception.
4 minutes to hyperspace termination.
That's quite good, isn't it? That's a bit like How.
Yeah.
Swiveling in your crash couch, you run a check through your spacecraft's weapon systems. Phasers, check. Smart missiles, 2, check. Shields, check. Pretty hefty stuff for a travelling salesman, though no one's to know. Unless you have to use it. Until such time, your cover should remain intact. You charge up the conventional drive of your spaceship, raise the anti-spy beam shield, and grit your teeth for the stomach-twisting end to hyperspatial travel.
Prepare for insertion into real space-time.
The bottom drops out of the spaceship. You follow at some super light speed. Shh! Everything flies back together and is once again... apart from the hangover you seem to have developed in the last moment, back to normal. There, on the screen in front of you, is the Aleph Cygni system, the yellow star Aleph Cygni, and its single planet, Kethar. Kethar, your cosmonav tells you, is a habitable world consisting of vast expanses of ocean and, apart from a few scattered islands, only one continental landmass. Circling this world is a small pockmarked moon known locally as Rispin's End. Not visible on your vid screen, but whose presence you are alerted to by your cosmonav, is a vast belt containing hundreds of thousands of asteroids. Where will you begin in your search for the drug runners? At the system starport on Kethar, turn to 333. On the moon, 328. Or in the asteroid belt?
So
DI, what's your name?
DI Chance.
DI Chance.
So DI Chance can either stay where they are... and investigate the asteroids. Go to the moon?
You can go to the moon.
How can
known
I go
locally
to the moon?
As Rispin's End.
How do I do that?
Well, you're in a spaceship.
Oh, right. Sorry, I thought I'd come out of the spaceship.
No, you came out of hyperspace travel.
Okay, so I'm just like circling.
You're circling, yeah.
The planet.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can either go to the moon where it's all happening.
Known What's locally as Rispin's End.
Rispin's End, so it sounds like a fun place to be. Yep. I can investigate the asteroid belt, which is uninhabited, it seems. Possibly.
You don't know that.
Or
yet.
Do what's the other thing?
You can begin your search for drug runners at the system starport on Kethar.
The starport.
The main planet.
Okay, well, I mean, DI Chance, Chance by name, Chancey by nature, should probably try... seeing what's around, you know, do the unknown first.
Okay, he's going to have a little
scout.
So
I'm going to have a little look at the asteroid belt, which has no information apart from the fact that it's littered with asteroids.
Excellent, right, 372, 372.
And I'm, you know, shielded up to the hilt, so I'll be fine.
You will be.
You accelerate towards the asteroid belt. Your ship's twin fusion drive pushing you along at a steady 3 Gs. Suddenly, an alarm goes off and the command screen presents,
warning, 2 unidentified vessels approaching from asteroids on intercept course.
You push your ship into the slight turn to avoid any possibility of a collision, but the two vessels, instead of continuing straight, change direction to remain on collision course. They're trying to catch you.
No.
In fact, they have begun firing their phasers. You'll have to fight them.
Okay, let's go.
So, they have a weapon strength of 5. You have a weapon strength
7.
Of 7. So, you roll first.
2 die or 1?
2 die, you got to get under 7.
Oh, with 2?
With 2.
Oh, that's going to be hard. Okay. Yeah. Ready?
Hit me.
Wish me luck, everyone. Yes!
Yep. Bam!
Oh.
So you hit Interceptor 1 that has 2 shields, so he's down to 1. So now I get to roll for each of them individually, because there's 2 of them. So they've both got to get under 5. 10 with the first one. He misses. Shame, I am rooting for these. And that's a bit cocked, but 7. We'll say 7. So I miss both times.
Yes!
You get another one.
Okay. Let's go. 5. So I've hit you again.
Yeah, and you've destroyed one of them. So now there's only one left.
Sucker.
Oh, but he got snake eyes, which means he hits you. So he hits you for 1.
Oh, no. So I'm 11.
Yeah. You can hit him back.
Okay. Let's go. 8. No.
You miss as well. And I've got a 9, so I miss. You go again. And
9.
You've got a 9. You miss. Yeah,
oh,
there we go.
No.
4. So I hit you again for 1.
Alright, so the laser shields. That's a 7.
Afraid not. That's a 10. I miss as well.
Yes!
Yes, so now it's down to 2. I'm down to 2.
Okay.
Oh, 12. I'm completely over.
Yeah!
Hey, hit
3.
Again. So I'm down to 1.
Okay.
Oh, I hit you back,
no.
Though.
No! Brooke's shields are going down. Yes, 4.
4.
You're gone now. You're dead.
Yep. Blow
yes.
him up.
Brilliant. Come on, chances.
DI Chance blows up the 2 interceptors. If you destroy them, you may continue towards the asteroids or change course and go to Kethar instead.
I'm not going to change course right now. I am going to take that chance. I might find something in those asteroids.
You might do.
Worth looking at.
Chance by name, chance by bloody nature. 367. The asteroid belt lies some 4 AUs out in a huge ring around the LF Cygni. I don't know what that means. 4 AUs. Astral units? I don't know. The asteroid belt lies some 4 AUs out in a huge ring around Alef Cygni. It consists of at least 100,000 fair-sized rocks and millions of little ones. Once you reach the outskirts of a small section of the belt, you realise the futility of your search. It would take a federal astro-survey team with 10 ships a good 20 years to explore every rock capable of supporting a base. You head back to Kethar.
Oh, all that for nothing.
Turns 333.
What a shame.
It's a shame, isn't it? But, you know, you murked a couple of interceptors.
Yeah, but did I blow my cover? Are they going to be alerted now? There's someone strange.
But I think
maybe
if you'd let them get away, but you didn't. You sort of quite ruthlessly put them down.
But what if their boss's straight family wonder why they don't return?
Good point. Mm. We'll see. You land at Kethar's only starport, which is on the continental landmass only 10 kilometres from the planet's capital city. Your ship is towed to its parking space where, to your dismay, you are boarded by several customs officers looking for contraband. What, drugs? You ask. They look at you smugly before replying. What voice shall I give them?
American.
American, okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
I didn't give you a voice either, actually. What voice would you like? You could sort of...
Why don't we do it like a film noir?
DI Chance. Yeah, so that could be. So
you could do New York.
New York.
Me, and they could...
What, drugs? I can't really do New York. I can do about 3 accents. I mean, I could do like Taggart. What the?
Okay. But then...
My one accent, which is sort of vague.
What am
Scottish.
I actually saying?
What, drugs?
What, drugs? No. How would they, New York?
New York.
What, drugs?
I'm walking here.
Drugs?
What, drugs?
Drugs? I think it's drugs. Drugs? No, it's not working. What about another famous detective?
I'm gonna make you tagger.
Okay, fine. But then I'm a man.
No, you're just a female tagger. Taggart wasn't a person, was
Why
it?
Don't
it was just about a Scottish police force.
I don't know. I never watched it.
What? Drugs? They look at you smugly before replying. I'll do them, American. No, technology. And this, says one of them, finding your spy ray, is an example of it. I'm sorry. This device is a prohibited import, and as such, will not be returned to you. Good day. They leave the spacecraft. Cross the spy ray off your equipment list.
Oh, I don't have a spy ray.
You did have a spy ray, but no longer.
Oh, spy ray.
Cross the spy ray off your equipment list. Rather brusque treatment, and they didn't even check your cargo. You could ask a few questions around the starport. Turn to 394. Go to the local law enforcement headquarters and ask for some help. 255 off the pigs. Or, if you want to keep a really low profile, find a shady starport canteen in which conduct a few discreet inquiries.
100% the last. I love the sound of a shady space canteen.
Yes.
But will they serve some dirty tea?
What's dirty tea?
Just like really stewed tea. Most cafes serve that, don't they?
I love dirty tea. I really love really
dirty
strong
tea. Or really crap pie.
I hope you get both.
And I hope that the seats are really sticky. And the floor.
Too nice. This sounds like my perfect caf, bro.
And that, you know, the air smells of grease.
Oh, this sounds like the caf.
Grease and sweat. It
sounds like the caf down the road that you will never let us both go into. But when you're at work and I'm not, I go into occasionally for a horrible breakfast. It's absolutely brilliant.
They don't even give you toast.
Fried bread,
just
mate.
I thought they gave you a white bread, just white
fried,
bread. But...
Fried white. Love it. So, you're in a sort of space canteen.
What time of day is it? Is it the evening? The morning?
I think...
Unspecific?
Unspecified.
Because we're in space?
Yeah.
So there isn't...
I don't know how the days work on here.
Okay.
If it works on a sort of 24-hour cycle like Earth. Or,
I'm imagining it to be quite dark.
I would imagine it's
low
dark.
Low-level lighting.
Oh, inside, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah. That was me there doing a sort of Star Wars Mos Eisley Cantina,
that's what I thought.
But without the copyright.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, the canteen you find is advertised by a gaudy crypto-fluorescent animated sign depicting a large Crush-class stellar battleship driving into a foaming glass of undefined liquid.
Mm.
The sound effects are deafening, full of fusion motor roars, laser zaps and dam-sized splashes. Looks promising. Entering the premises, you find the joint packed with drunken flotsam and jetsam. There is hearty laughter, the obligatory fight in the corner, and it's all very, very noisy.
So just to clarify, we're not going to get a fried breakfast here.
I don't
think it's like a pub.
Yeah, it's like a bar.
So cantina means bar.
Yeah, like it's like the Mos Eisley cantina. Like that's there weren't people having
porridge.
Is
that why you were confused when I was talking about dirty tea?
Yeah, yeah, I thought it might have been a cocktail.
Ah, that's why I asked if it was in the morning or the evening.
Okay, right.
That was a miscommunication there. That's fine, though. That's good.
That's fine. That's marriage, innit?
How dare you?
A small sign over the bar announces that no aliens are allowed. Very promising. Will you approach one of the barmaids for a tip about who in the bar might be best to approach for a bit of underworld largesse? Turn to 30. Or just mingle and see what you can find out. 362.
I'd quite like to chat to the barmaid, so I'll talk to her.
Give her a wink. 30. Hey there! You shout at a young bar wench. I'm new in town, and I'm sort of looking for somebody who can help a young and scrupulous type of person like me get along without having to work in a regular way, see? Oh yeah, she shouts back disdainfully. What'd you do, Zero Ed? You perform a quick bit of thinking here. What's absolutely essential for a drug-producing outfit? I'm a chemist. I make funny little crystals for people to stick into their bloodstreams, you yell. She blinks at you a bit, obviously thinking without seeing you.
Hiking up her skirt, she reveals a garter purse. Slapping it, she says, 500 kopecks, jerk. Will you pay her or not?
So I have to pay her to tell me what job I can do?
No, you to tell her where a chemist might find some work. You can pay her, or if not, you decide you'll just have to mingle.
Well, I've got 5,000, and 400 seems a bit steep.
500.
That seems a bit steep for information.
Yeah, but, you know.
So
you have got 5,000, though. That's 10%.
Will I need that money, though?
I don't know. This is the decision that you must make.
I think she's taking the mickey a bit, really. I mean,
she's taking the Michael, is she?
Yeah, because she's using her legs and her garter business, her power.
She's using her femininity and her power. Yeah. And also, it's probably a safe place to have it.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. I will give her the money.
Okay, you will pay her.
Gives me 400.
4,500 left. You part with your 500. The barmaid pulls you close and points out two people at separate tables. One is a pale, drawn-looking man alone with his beer. The other is a fat, middle-aged woman playing cards with 6 or 7 men. Which will you approach, the man or the woman?
The woman.
The woman. Fat, middle-aged woman playing cards with 6 or 7 men. 3, 4, 3.
How dare she?
3, 4, 3. The woman is really horrible. Gap-tooth, beery, burping, and coarse. I mean, she sounds like a legend.
Yeah.
But the way she commands the men playing cards with her shows that she has real power. What form of power, however, is yet to be seen. Will you try and join the card players, turn to 304, or wait until they finish and follow the woman? The legendary woman.
So if I join them, I play the game, yeah?
Yeah, join the card players
to
play the game.
I'll get to speak to her anyway.
Yeah, or you can just wait until they finish and follow her.
I want to get to know this woman, so I'm going to play.
Play the cards?
Yeah.
Mind if I join in? You ask, pulling a chair up to the circle of card players. What can she be?
What about Southern American?
Oh, good shout, yeah. I like that. Mind if I join in? You ask, pulling up a chair to the circle of card players. Yeah, I do. Get lost. No, they went to New York again.
No, so you go,
What's her name off streetcar?
Blanche Dubois.
I'm Blanche Dubois. Yeah, I do. Get lost.
Yeah, that's get lost.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, right. Yeah, I do. Get lost, says the woman. After a bit of wheedling, however, she changes her mind and lets you sit in. You discover that her name is Zira Gross.
Well,
I don't know if this
is
all
it
these
gross or is it gross? Maybe
gross. Yeah, like gross.
Maybe it's like a bouquet bucket situation.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if maybe the description of women has aged all that well in some of these this book
for sure.
Particularly, but you discover that her name is Zira Gross. And that, ostensibly, she runs an import-export agency. Aha! You try a pointed joke to see what reaction the word drugs might have on them. More exporting than importing, I'd wager. The nature of the drug business being what it is. Ha ha ha! You laugh. The sudden silence and stony faces around the table are a little disconcerting. Okay, boys. Time to teach this little worm a bit of respect. The 5 or 6 men with whom you are playing cards rise to their feet and attack you. You are beaten, as they say, almost to a pulp.
Oh, man.
Lose 2 stamina points permanently.
Whoa, so that's 18. Still quite high, though.
When you finally come to, the bar is almost empty. It's early morning. On the new day, after a bit of medical attention and rest, you head off to the city central library. There might be some information about Zira Gross on the case list. Turn to 80. So,
if in doubt, go to the library.
Absolutely.
Will it have the Dewey Decimal System? in this?
I would assume so.
It's our world.
It's a perfect system for cataloguing books.
For sure.
For those who don't know, and why would you? Bryony worked at a library for a bit, didn't you?
Yep.
Second generation librarian?
Yep.
The city central library is an enormous complex housing millions of volumes of vidis, microfilm, and even a few books. It is almost devoid of human life when you arrive. There is no organic staff, and most subscribers get their information or volumes they want sent to them by cable. You seat yourself at a terminal marked for public use only. Will you start by looking through old vidi news for something on local organised crime, or look up some government-released statistics instead?
I don't think I trust government release statistics, because I'm undercover, which suggests that it's likely that the government are being bribed or they're involved. So I imagine their statistics are flawed, much like most statistics right now.
Indeed.
So I would look at the other option. What was it? Crimes. Reported crime.
Old vidi news for something on local organised crime, turned 41.
Yeah, so let's learn about who's actually involved first.
After several hours scanning the previous several years' daily news releases and case lists, it becomes evident that there is very little to find. No articles at all on organised manufacture or dealing of drugs, and only one tiny snippet under a case list released 4 years ago, which reads... Central Criminal Court 3, State versus Zed Gross and B. Blaster Babbitt.
Mm-hmm.
Before Justice Zark, charge trafficking in illicit organic materials. Sitting at 10:30 a.m. After that, there's nothing. No record of conviction, nothing. You look them up in the Vidiphone directory and find an address for B. Babbitt, but there is nothing for Zed Gross.
Met her last night.
Yeah, but you don't know where she lives.
No,
but she knocked you spark out, bruv.
I knew she was bad news.
Well, there you go. Will you go and look over B. Babbitt's address, or go to the State Computer File Centre and see if there's anything else about these two that can be uncovered?
I think maybe we'll go to the address.
Yeah.
What have we got to lose?
Yeah, use your instincts, I'd say, D.I. Chase. I don't think the state...
It's not Chase, actually, it's Chance.
Chance, so that's it.
Let's chance it.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's perfectly fine.
256. All right, we're going to go B. Babbitt's house.
B. Babbitt.
256.
B. Babbitt. B. Babbitt. B. Babbitt.
B-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
rundown warehouse. You enter the warehouse grounds. Will you enter the building via the large main entrance at the front? Or have a look around the outside first?
Well, judging by the fact that I was quite gung-ho with joining the card game yesterday and ended up getting kicked half to death, maybe I shouldn't chance this one and I should look around the periphery of the building first.
Okay.
Just to see if there's any goons lurking.
188.
That I might have to see off before looking anymore.
Yeah. Makes sense. Circling around towards the back of the hangar-sized warehouse, you discover a small door partly hidden behind some piles of rubbish. You force this entrance rather easily. In front of you is a short corridor which ends in two doors, indistinguishable from each other. You approach the doors. Which will you go through? The left or the right?
I mean,
I'm
a lefty, so I'm inclined to go left.
Both hand and politic.
Yeah.
Same.
I'm going to go left.
Excellent. 149. The door opens onto some stairs. You climb them and find yourself on a raised freight landing. Above are doors for the helijet to enter the building, and below is a storehouse. A door in the storehouse opens and two men enter. Will you lie down in an attempt to remain hidden, or try and escape from the landing by going back down the stairs?
Well, if I escape, then I'm not doing my job. And these men are probably involved, and I want to hear and see what they're doing. But I don't want them to see me. So I'm going to lie down and hide. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Get
52.
Low.
Yeah, you've got to be bold in here. You can't be running away, you know.
No.
Fannying about like that. You just got to do it.
Take the bull by the horns.
Exactly. I think the accent of Kethar is going to be that sort of New York I did for the customs officers.
Okay.
So they're all going to have that sort of accent.
But we gave the gross woman a southern accent.
Yeah, because she's maybe from off-world. She's from...
Okay.
I'm walking here. They do not see you. Everything ready? One of the men asks. Sure, sure. What time's the dope arriving? Oh, no, that's... That wasn't New York, was it? Yeah, that's fine. Tomorrow sometime. It's coming in from the asteroids again, so we can't be sure exactly when.
Might have re-entry problems. They talk for a while about the received arrangements and then leave the storeroom. The landing is a little bit too far above the storeroom to make jumping practical, so you go back down the stairs. Or you continue to explore the warehouse by going through the other door, or leave the place and look for somebody in the space industry who may know something about the illegal space traffic you heard the two men discussing.
Interesting decision to make, because technically I've got the information I wanted, so I know that these people are involved in the drug trafficking.
Very true.
These are clearly just henchmen. They're not important people. They just run the storeroom, and the people I'm looking for might not be there, but more people like them might be there that might end up stopping me from being able to use my skills. Lose more points, and my stamina's already gone down by 2. So I think I won't stick around. I think I'm going to go to where again?
You are going to go to look for somebody in the space industry who may know something about the illegal space traffic you've heard the two men discussing.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Sounds good. You've got what you came for.
Yeah.
Excellent. 384.
Oh, the Steedler.
No, not the Steedler. Quality pencil, that. Will you conduct your inquiries at Kethar's starport or in the city?
Is the starport where those officers were when I first came in?
Yeah, I think so. That's where you landed. But if you're looking for space flights and illegal space flights, then that could be a good place to go. But then so could the city. I don't know.
The other thing is that surely I only arrived like yesterday, and people might recognise me and think, why are they back at the spaceport?
Yeah.
And that, you know, they did think that I was bringing in drugs.
And they took your spy ray.
Yeah. So unless I can hide when I'm there or go incognito, maybe I should go to the city.
Go to the city. It seems like a perfectly reasonable choice to me. 131. You hang around the city, frequenting bars, dives, cheap hotels, and even looking for likely persons in the Vidiphone directory. Test your luck. If you're successful, turn to 4. Otherwise, turn to 92. So give me 2 dice, BD, and you need to get under 11.
Under 11.
Should be easy.
Yes, 7.
7. So you are lucky. Where were we? If you're successful, turn to 4. In a sleazy bar, you discover a hoary old asteroid miner down from space for a 2-week drinking binge. Lots of illicit traffic. He cackles. Lots of illicit traffic, my little fed. But it'll cost you 500 kopecks to get the location out of me. Will you pay him the 500? We'll go to the starport and continue your inquiries.
Well, nothing comes for free in this town.
That's certainly
so
true.
Last time, it didn't go well, did it?
Well, it didn't go well, but that's maybe because you chose to make a joke about trafficking drugs, which was sort of spectacularly misjudged.
Mm. But, you know, as we know from the namesake, taking a chance.
He lives on the edge, D.I. Chance.
Why are you saying it's a he?
She.
You know, she lives on the edge. So, and I don't know. So this is a miner, right? What is he mine again?
He's a hoary old asteroid miner.
So I'm just wondering what he's going to use this 500 for.
He's on a 2-week drinking binge. He needs all the dosh he can get.
Yeah, he's going to drink it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to slam it down.
Okay. How many drinks have I had so far?
You haven't had any.
So I've been pretending, have I? Because it seems like to get some information out of him, I probably would have had to drink him, you know.
It doesn't specify, but we could put that in, yeah. I imagine you'd probably have had a few.
Had a few.
Few galactic whiskies.
Or some bubbling ale or something.
Bubbling ale or some, what did you call it, dirty tea?
Some dirty tea, yeah. Dirty space tea.
Lovely.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I...
Are you going to pay the man or not?
I'm probably going to have to pay him, aren't I? Because I need to know...
You need to know.
The info.
I mean, you've got money, you may as well use it.
Well, it's going down.
It is. You're now on four grand left.
Not budgeting well.
355.
Also, I'm concerned that I haven't eaten yet, so... I mean, none of that money's been going on food, so all these dirty teas, I hope this mine has been buying them for me.
I think we can take it as read that even though it's not specifying, you're probably staying alive by eating.
So this money is purely for purposes of bribery?
Yeah, I don't think it's for food or, you know, it's not specifying that you're going for a poo, but I assume in the sort of 2 days you've been here that you have...
Well... different gravity forces on an unknown planet might mean that
maybe,
you know, like when you go on a plane and then like the day after you can't have a poo.
Yeah,
it might be
maybe.
Like that
could be, and I imagine hyperspace travel even worse.
So what would I have been eating on this planet, do you reckon? Like some,
I don't know,
would there be like some nice
sandwiches?
Yeah, no,
nice BLT.
I reckon D.I. Chancey likes a bit of ramen or something like that. Yeah.
So he's a bit like, this could be a bit sort of Blade Runner.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to give everyone Chinese accents.
No, that's
Japanese
fine.
Japanese accents.
We didn't say that it was an Asian planet. In fact, you've given everybody American accents so far.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay, well, it could be a diner, couldn't it? It could be like some burgers or something.
Yeah, have a nice space burger. I mean, maybe we're getting distracted.
Okay, I'm just visualising the world.
Okay, I think a nice bowl of ramen, space ramen, like Blade Runner.
Okay.
I think I envisage Kethar as a bit of a Blade Runner-y
type
of
place.
World.
We did say that the cantina had lots of neon
earlier. Yeah, true.
Okay.
Deduct the 500 kopecks from your credit account.
Done.
The miner informs you that a certain large asteroid known as C230 is at the centre of a hive of activity. You might want to jot that down, Ryan. That sounds like it might be important.
C230. Is this an asteroid?
An asteroid.
But this is where I was earlier.
Well,
I knew it!
Yeah, but you did. There were hundreds of thousands of them, Brian. You didn't know which one
inkling.
To go to.
It's instinct, Tom.
After receiving the news, you notice a small insect land on the table in front of you. Insect? No. A bug. An electronic bug, cunningly formed so as to look like a real insect. You can see the tiny jets under the mock wings and the vidi camera for an eye, looking straight into your own. Will you go to the asteroid C230, or will you attempt to lose the bug?
Yeah, I mean, the bug is connected with this dodgy, hoary man, clearly.
I disagree, actually.
Turned up as he was telling me information that could possibly be a trap.
I would guess that this hoary old space miner is just having a lovely time. I wouldn't say that he is particularly high up in some criminal ranks, but I think maybe in your asking questions, you might have ruffled a few feathers. Maybe old Zed Gross or B Babette. Maybe they've just put a bug out.
So these are spy bugs, not from the government. These are from criminal organisations.
From the government? I don't know, Ryan. We don't know.
They might be following me.
One and the same. Am I right? Am I right?
They might be following me to give me help along the way and guidance.
Maybe. You just don't know.
It's a bit sinister, isn't it? A bug. I'll have to lose it then, because if we're assuming that it's like insidious, then it will just follow me to the asteroid. Can it actually fly through space though, or would it crawl on my body?
I would imagine it would struggle to get to space, but it will probably be able to get into your ship.
Okay, I'll try and lose it then.
53. You swat at the bug, but it flies away and settles on a rafter above you, still watching. You attempt a few manoeuvres, diving into a passing helicab, walking through a crowded shopping mall, and even running in and out of different elevators. But all this is to no effect, evidently, as you find out when you leap out of the elevator and are confronted by two men holding blasters 15 centimetres from your belly. There is no chance of escaping them, as you'd be blown to pieces from this distance. They lead you out the back of the shop which you were in. Turn to 316. Turn to Austin 316. Out the back is a large black ground car with reflective windows. They bundle you into the rear, keeping their guns trained on you. Time for a little ride. Laughs the driver. You are taken for a drive out of the city into the country of a large manor house. There are shady looking gunmen all over the grounds. As you are led out of the car towards the house, you see an opportunity to escape. Quick dive into a privet hedge, followed by a short roll down the embankment and a sprint for all that you're worth. Will you attempt this escape, or let the gunman lead you into the house?
Well, I'm actually quite intrigued now, because
sent for you.
It's a big manor house. It looks like, I mean, it could be owned by a drug lord who's made a hell of a lot of money
from Space Scarface
importing dope. But if I run away now, I don't know how far away I am from that town. And I don't know where my spaceship is. And they've got a car and big guns. So I don't even know if I'd get very far. So I think I'm going to stay and see what I want.
DI Chance knows when to not take her chances. 170. You find yourself in a plush room, either a library or a study. Books on real wooden shelves line the walls. There is real wooden furniture, heavy and smoky with long years. Sounds like your ideal house, doesn't
it?
Yes. Behind a massive desk sits an equally massive but certainly uglier woman. Bloody hell.
Is it?
She smiles gap tooth at you. That's G Gross, isn't it?
Is it gross? Is it gross?
Gross. It doesn't say it's gross, but it does.
Mrs. Gross. Let's find out.
She smiles gap tooth at you. It does sound like her, so I'm going to give her the same voice in case it is. And if not, then...
Is she morbidly fat, as it explains in the last...
Yeah, it does say equally massive behind a massive desk.
Wow.
I know.
This writer is not a fan of women.
She smiles gap tooth at you. You gave us quite a turn, you did, dropping out of space all unexpected-like. Isn't that so, boys? She looks around at the other gangsters who are lolling about the rest of the furniture, cigarettes dangling from their lips, and bleary, boozy eyes fixed disinterestedly on you. Yeah, they answer. We don't have federal investigators visiting our little planet all that often, do we, boys? She asks again. Nah. Suddenly, she leans forward, staring at you. Her voice is icy. You have two choices, Narc. Either you go to a meeting that we've arranged for you to pick up a box of documents for us, or else...
Will you agree to go to the meeting or take the or else option?
Well, I mean, taking the or else, knowing that I got beaten by her goons last time.
Yeah, they're going to absolutely have you, I
would guess.
It's
not a good idea. And although my cover has blown, although I don't know how she knows that, because that suggests she's been following me from the beginning.
Well, I think we might have found the source of the little bug.
Well, yeah, but she only, you know, that only came up in the place with the miner, right?
But you only noticed it in the place with the miner. It could have been following you this whole time.
Okay. She seemed surprised, though, when I said that I'd play cards with her. She didn't know who I was.
So maybe she put it on you after the
cards. Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to do her bidding, but in the hope that I can somehow infiltrate.
Yeah.
And catch them red-handed in some way whilst doing it.
And I think you should just defect. She sounds cool. Go to a meeting 35. The meeting they have arranged for you is with Mrs. Taurus, the wife of Clive Taurus, one of their ex-buddies. They take you to the glass houses in the enormous botanic gardens of Kethar's capital city. So it never says that this woman was Zed Gross, but she was described in exactly the same way,
I'm assuming that
she is.
I think she is.
The documents, the pump driver of the black ground sloop you are in explains, are in a safety deposit box. They'll have them for you. They park behind the glass house, show you to where Mrs. Taurus is standing, and push you from the car. Turn to 376. You walk towards her. Mrs. Taurus, you say. She turns, but at that moment, two shots ring out from a copse of trees to your left. One slams into Mrs. Taurus, the other to you. Throw one die and deduct the result from your stamina.
Oh, no. It's the fuzz.
Is it the fuzz?
Yes. Three.
Three. Deduct three from your stamina.
No. 72.
Yeah.
15.
You both fall to the ground. Mrs. Taurus dropping the bag she was carrying. The safety deposit box with the incriminating documents falls out. Before you can react, the sniper dashes over, grabs the box and leaps into a sloop, which squeals off. What a setup. You lurch to your feet. Will you attempt to chase the sloop or aid Mrs. Taurus? I assume sloop is like a vehicle.
Wow, this is interesting. I mean, who is this Mrs. Taurus? She must be like a gangster mole.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, she's the wife of an ex-associate of Zed Gross's, Clive Taurus.
If I help her, then I'm sort of helping the people I'm trying to, like, catch out. But that could actually get me with them.
Could win her over.
Yeah. But then if I go after the drugs, the person stealing it might be on my side.
Yeah. It's not drugs, it's incriminating documents.
Okay, the incriminating documents.
The incriminating documents will have some good info in.
Yeah. I don't care about Taurus. Not even spoken to her.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go after the person.
After
the sniper.
191. You run out onto the road, narrowly being missed by a carload of picnickers. Out for a jolly time in the gardens. The back sloop is tearing down the street past another car which is heading towards you. Will you shoot at the villain's car or try to flag the other car down so as to give chase?
How far away am I from the car if I'm going to shoot it?
Well, it is tearing down the street past another car.
I might not get it.
You might not get it.
I might miss it.
I would imagine it would be either a luck or a skill roll. But you do have high luck and skill.
I think I'm going to chase it.
You're going to flag down a car?
Yeah.
Okay. Turn to 113. The driver, in response to your frantic waving, pulls over to the side of the road. What? He asks in astonishment when you drag him from the car. Hey, wait! He yells when you hurl his vehicle into a wide arc and set off after the escaping villains. Looks like you've had a bit of luck anyway, as the ground car you're in is a small, powerful, six-wheeled sport model with twin gas turbines.
Yes.
Should be able to pull a few hundred kilometres in an hour with this. You flick on the traffic radar, picking up the sloop up ahead, and accelerate to 200 km/h.
Ooh.
If you stop to shoot before waving the car down, turn to 387, otherwise turn to 202. The sloop is about 300 metres ahead, clocking 165 km/h. It's tearing around a long, wide left curve towards a straight. A small access road is coming up on your left. If you take it, you may be able to cut the distance between the two vehicles, but there is a danger that the access road might not join up with the main road further on. Will you take the side road or stay on the main
road?
Oh, Ryanny, you've got to make this decision quickly, quickly, quickly. Come on.
I'm going to chance it.
You, DR chance.
DR chance is going to chance
2-4-1. I'm so excited, I've snapped the nib of my pencil.
It's broken.
I've snapped my Stiedler. Taking the access road cuts the distance between the sloop and your car to a mere 100 metres.
Yes!
You rejoin the main road as it straightens, turn to 202. Well done, Bryony. Well done, DI Chance. The sloop flies down the straight and disappears over a humpbacked hill. You cannot see what happens to the road past the crest. Will you assume that the road continues straight and take the crest at high speed? Or you anticipate a corner and slow down a bit.
I think I'm going to
take a DI chance. You just, that's all you can do, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, I've got to choose one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna slow down.
You're gonna slow down?
I think it's a corner.
Okay, 163. Yeah.
Could be a drop, you see. And if I go fast, I might end up going over a precipice.
You brake just in time, for there, over the crest, is a tight hairpin bend.
Yes!
The sports car's six wheels squeal slightly as it whips round the corner and flies onto a long, straight downhill slope. The sloop is about 100 metres in front. Will you push the car faster or stay at your present speed?
Faster! Go faster!
All the chances, right? 115. The turbines give a magnificent amount of power, pushing you effortlessly down the slope to within 3 metres of the sloop. You start pounding on your horn to unnerve them. The two cars dive into a wood. The road becomes quite curvy, necessitating a reduction in speed. You could try and ram the car from behind and send it into a tree. It is a heavier vehicle than yours and will probably be harder to control in these conditions. Will you try and push it off the road or not?
Yeah, I think I will try and push it off the road.
Ram it?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it could be dangerous. I could spin out, but...
It is heavier than you. It could. You could just spin out, yeah. You scrape bumpers with it and plant your foot as you hit a curve. Roll two dice. If the result is higher or equal than your skill, turn to 183. If it's less than your skill, 144.
Two.
So way lower.
Five.
144. Your bumper hits them firmly, catapulting the sloop towards the side of the road. Test your luck. If you're successful, turn to 66. Otherwise, 105.
Two?
Yep, you've got to get under 11.
Yes, three.
Way under. They swerve wildly across the road before fishtailing over the verge and hitting a tree, wrapping the car around it. A bit of harsh braking brings your own car to a more civilised halt on the side of the road. Turn to 359.
I just rode that, like, drove that car like a boss.
DI chance. You absolutely stormed it.
Yes. It's like the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. Just get out proper
or
swagging.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Yes.
I am Nicolas Cage.
And I am Angelina Jolie.
Yes.
Gone in 60 seconds. The first DVD that I had. Well, we as a family... bought came with our DVD player when we first bought a DVD player, and as it was the only one, that and Cats and Dogs, I watched it loads.
Cats and Dogs. That was a good film.
I never watched Cats and Dogs. I can never get through it. I just wanted to watch Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds, good film, but Nicolas Cage could not be more wooden.
I think he's good in Gone in 60 Seconds, you know. I think Nicolas Cage is actually a brilliant actor, and
I did watch
a good YouTube video about Nicolas Cage's acting and about how it's sort of like a jazz player. He does it very methodically, like this weird sort of facial expressions and overacting, and he sort of wants to move away from naturalistic acting and create a more sort of experimental art form. So actually, you sort of assume that he's just a bit shit, but I think it's all
quite, you know, thought about. And didn't eat a cockroach in a film.
I don't know.
Like, that is geese.
But, I mean,
that is geese to eat a cockroach.
What's the point in being an experimental actor in lots of blockbuster movies?
Well, that's what's so good about it.
But that's why it doesn't work.
Who else is in blockbuster movies doing this, like, weird sort of jazz
acting? Maybe I'll look back. I'm a big fan of jazz, anything. So yeah, well, I'll look back and see, but...
And there we go. Vampire's Kiss, that's the film where Nicolas Cage eats a cockroach, and I think is a textbook example of the Nick Cage jazz acting method. Anyway, Bryony's banging through it, isn't she? Literally called every decision right in that car chase. Will D.I. Chance keep it up? Finessing her way to the end and being the undoing of Zero Gross and B Blaster Babbitt? Almost certainly not, because these are really hard, but let's find out, shall we?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Leaving your own vehicle, you approach the wrecked sloop. Looking inside, you can see that nobody survived. You recover the safety deposit box and open it. Inside are lots of incriminating documents regarding two individuals. Can you guess them?
Yeah. Gross and...
Zero Gross. And Blaster Babbitt.
Blaster Babbitt.
There are bills for the raw materials necessary to produce Satterfield D, amounts paid in bribes to the various officials, and, what's most important, the location of the receiving facility on Kethar. Evidently, the drug arrives from space via shuttle at a little island some 4,000 kilometres off the shore of the main continental landmass. It is stored there until it is sent to the starport on Kethar for shipment out of the system. The box contains the exact coordinates for the island facility.
Yes!
Turn to 3:30. Well done. You hire a long-range helijet and fly out to the tiny vegetation-covered island. As you circle over it, you spot a large clearing containing a launch pad for shuttles, two landing bays for helijets, and an anti-grav dray. One of the helijet bays is occupied. You land your aircraft in the other bay and climb out. Now that you are closer, you can see three ramps spaced equally around the helijet bays descending onto the ground. Two of the ramps end in quite ordinary looking entrances, while the third finishes in a large freight door. Will you enter one of the ordinary entrances, the freight door, or take a look at the anti-grav dray?
So this place is where the drugs are being held. The depot of the drugs. It was not like chemical factory.
No, it's where they receive
the drugs.
The drugs.
Okay.
Then
they disseminate them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got the option of going straight into the depot or going into a freight entrance. Is that right?
Large freight door. An ordinary entrance or an anti-grav dray.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, that sounds more fun than the other three options.
Yeah, should we go and have a look at it? I mean, I, for one, am quite curious to find out what an anti-grav dray is.
Yeah, me too.
Let's do that. 281. The anti-grav dray is a massive grey device, about the size of two helijets put end-to-end. It floats a metre off the ground. You could attempt to drive it into and through the freight door to give whatever might be waiting a nasty shock. If this doesn't appeal, you could leave the dray and enter on foot to one of the lesser entrances or the freight entrance.
Yeah, this is a tricky one because usually D.I. Chance would just go for it and get that.
That is the coolest outcome, isn't it?
Yeah.
But...
You know. But at the same time, I've come so far.
Nicolas Cage would do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to influence.
It does sound fun.
You do have an extra life if you die.
Yeah, that's true. But... And I do have lots of pet pills as well.
Yeah.
When can I take a pep pill?
Well, they give you 6 stamina back. You don't really need it.
Mm. All right, okay.
You haven't been in many fights, really, have you? Been in a couple.
Right, I'm going to take the anti-grav and...
The dray.
Dray, and I'm going to sail it right in there.
Get a nasty shot.
Fly it right in there.
Fly it right into their mugs. 292. The drive turbines of the dray whine into life. You steer the clumsy machine towards the freight doors and push the throttle forward. It roars and accelerates at quite a frightening pace down the ramp and into the doors. When you finally come to a rest, you find the dray has fortuitously crushed 4 brutish-looking guards against stacks of heavy plastic containers that they were tending. You dismount and have a look around. Turn to 28.
Woohoo!
D.I. Chance. I mean, I think you're doing the coolest playthrough of this.
Yeah.
Just absolutely smashing it.
We've had a car chase. We've had guns. We've had winches.
And you've just come out of all of it looking effortless.
20. We've had ramen.
You've
dirty
had a nice bit of ramen. Oh, I could go for a dirty tea right
Cantina.
Now.
Cantina.
The plastic containers are full of Satterfill D. Looks like they were getting ready to ship it out to the mainland. In one of the corners of the room, you discover the curled up body of a man, obviously killed by the teeth of a rather savage beast, or at the hands of a skilled torturer. With all the fracas you have recently caused in the room, other guards may be coming. Will you search this man to try and discover why he was killed, or just leave?
I don't care about that man.
He might have...
But leave why? Where? Leave the whole place after that? Or yeah. Go and investigate?
It just says leave.
Leave the scene, or leave the...
Leave the scene? Yeah, I don't...
I don't want to go yet.
I don't know. They're your 2 options, though.
Well, I'll have to investigate the man then, won't I?
Search a man, discover why he was killed.
Yeah.
Well, you might find something good. 350. The man has no identification on him. No vendetta marks or anything, in fact, which could give you information. You can only determine the cause of death, loss of blood. In one of his hands, however, he holds 4 pep pills.
Well, hey!
You may add these to your equipment list. Leave the room. Turn to 389.
Well, not all bad then.
Party! 389, you exit the room into a corridor. 253. So it's not leave the scene, it's just leave that room.
Okay.
The corridor leads you to an octagonal room. Standing at the centre, contemplating you with at least 4 of its 7 electronic sensors, is a chrome and silver robot, obviously of alien design and manufacture. Welcome. It sighs, rising up on its 7 articulated legs, extending a few antennae and microwave sensors in your direction. Then it continues. Here we go. Listen carefully. Red I am, with the heart of a scorpion, yet not of Arachnia at all. Pincers I have, but I grasp with the unseen. In one word, what am I? With which letter of the alphabet does the answer begin? A, S, or X?
Can you...
So I'll say it in normal
do
voice.
Do it again.
Red I am, the heart of a scorpion, and yet not of Arachnia at all. Pincers I have, but I grasp with the unseen. In one word, what am I? I'm going to help you with this one.
So, hang on, it was either X or...
A, S, or X. Red, the heart of a scorpion, and yet not of Arachnia at all. Pincers I have, but I grasp with the unseen. In one word, what am I?
Grasp with the unseen.
Yeah.
That suggests
tricky.
Like understanding. To grasp something is to understand.
Red I am. As in
the
colour.
Oh, a book!
No, well, it's the colour red.
Oh.
The heart of a scorpion.
the heart of a scorpion.
And yet not of Arachnia.
Not of
all.
Arachnia. So it's not like a
so
spider.
So is that like a cryptic crosswords? Like the heart of a scorpion might mean... Is that a word inside scorpion? Like score... I don't know, that doesn't make sense. Pincers I have, but I grasp the unseen. In one word, what am I? I mean, there aren't many that begin with X, so maybe we can warm up. Xylophone or yeah. X-ray. So not, it's not a xylophone or an X-ray,
X-ray, red I am. X-ray vision. Heart of a scorpion.
Yeah, not of Arachnia at all. Pincers I have.
Ray.
But I grasp with the unseen.
It's hard, isn't
this
it?
This is hard.
Should we go with X? What would you go with?
My gut is probably saying S. Because the heart of a scorpion. Red I am, the heart of a scorpion. Red. Yeah, not of Arachnia. I mean, it makes no sense to me, to be honest.
Pincers grasping without the unseen. I reckon it's
pincers
X.
I have, but I grasp with the unseen. In one word, what am I? Should we go X?
Yeah.
You've got an extra life, so...
I mean, I know you think it's wrong, so...
No. I,
Brian, the only one that makes sense.
I ain't got a Scooby-Doo.
All right, we'll try X.
136. Your choice is wrong.
No!
Evidently, the machine opens fire on you.
Shit.
Turn to 97. You're going to have to find this machine, I think.
Why are you dead? It's all going so well.
You shoot it out. Antarian robot, skill 8, stamina 8. You go first. So you've luckily got a very high skill, so you're going to hit it every time unless you roll 12.
Okay. So that's 7. Not.
So he's got a skill 8 and a stamina of 8, so you've taken 4 off already.
Great.
Does he hit you back? He does not, because he got an 11. He's got a skill 8.
So that is 8.
You hit him again. Just
8.
Blow him up. And he's dead.
Whoa!
He's a bit of a
thought he was clever, didn't
that.
He?
Yeah.
Thought he was clever. Not good enough. Not clever enough for
yeah.
Chance.
How's this for your riddle, mate? Bam! Straight in the head.
Riddle me this. Chance. Don't take no chance.
You don't take no shit off robots, mate. Leaving the room by another corridor, you come to a T-junction. To the left and right, the corridor splits and heads to a dim yellow light before turning from view. Will you go left or right? Both the same.
I can't remember what happened when I went left last time.
Yeah, no, it's good. You heard the guards talking about something.
Oh, yeah. I'll go right this time. Why not?
Let's... go right. The corridor ends fairly shortly in a large control panel. The only thing on it which makes sense is the digital readout. Next shuttle due, 75 hours, 31 minutes, 20 seconds. You journey back to the T-junction and follow the other passage. So
it's going to take ages for the next thing to come.
Yeah, do you think maybe you should write that down? I don't know, maybe so, it feels like it might be important. Next shuttle due, 75 hers, 31 mins, 20 sex. Turn to 360. Corridor leads to a door. It has a brass plate attached to it. Zira Gross. The door opens as you approach, and there, in a room, behind a large desk.
Is an even larger woman.
Dictating to a little robot secretary. Cheers. Guess what? Fat, gap tooth, and horrible.
A baller.
Yeah, she says, not looking at you, obviously thinking you're one of her henchmen. What do you want? Yes, repeats the secretary, scribbling frantically. What do you... Shut up, dummy, she shrieks. I'm speaking to... She notices who you are. Him. Well, actually, her. She makes a dive for the blaster on top of her desk. Will you engage her in a gunfight or in hand-to-hand combat?
She's got a blaster, though. Does she get it?
Well, she makes a dive for the blaster. So you either get your gun out and prepare for a fight, or you dive for her before she gets the blaster.
She's quite fat, though. So she
As they're at pains to point out every single
time. She might sit on me.
She might.
She might be stronger than me.
Almost certainly.
Well, actually, no,
because you've got a skill of 12. Like, you can absolutely.
But I am going to fight her hand to hand.
You're
going to
fight her hand to hand? Nice.
Why not?
282. You jump over the desk at her and send both of you sprawling to the floor. You trade punches in hand to hand combat. Zira Gross has a skill of 8 and a stamina of 11. So this time, we both roll at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We both add our dice rolls to our skill, and whoever wins takes 2 off the other one. So your skill is super high, so you're almost certainly going to win every single one.
Okay.
Let's go. I've got 6, and you've got...
5.
Yeah, you've got a high skill. So you punch Zira Gross in her face.
Does that go up then?
No. Right, okay. I take 2 off. So okay. Whoever, I'm on 9. Here we go again.
So I've got 4.
And I've got 7. So...
That's 15.
And you've got...
16.
Yeah, so you win again.
I've got 5.
And I've got 5, 6, 7. So you give her another punch.
Whoosh!
Punch in her round face. And you both square up again, and off you go. Ooh,
so,
I've got 6, 7. I've got 8. You've got 7. You do it again. She's down to 3. You're just pummeling her gap teeth.
Ow! I've got 3.
And I've got 4, so that makes 12. You again. I'm on 1 left. And we've both got 5. But you punch her again. How do you want to see her off? Punch her right in the gut?
No. In the eye.
Thumb in the eye. Thumb straight in Zira's gross eye.
Gross.
You defeat her, turn to 2, 4, 3.
Whoop, whoop.
She lies whale-like.
Take that, Gross.
Zira, you say, slapping her face. Tell me about the organisation. Unfortunately, she is extremely dazed and can only mumble, "Up." Up and then left. Turn to 126.
Up and left?
Up and left. You might want to write that down as well.
I'm on it.
You leave the room, fire another door, and find yourself in what is obviously a command room. Huge vid screens and floor-to-ceiling computer banks adorn the walls. Vidi links are set around at regular intervals. It all ticks over and flashes quietly to itself. The screens show production figures of Satterfield D in tons per month, arrival and departure times of helijet flights between the island and mainland, and the exact location of the asteroid in which all the drugs are manufactured.
C-230.
This is obviously not the complete operation. What you need to take out now is the production asteroid. Turn to 87.
I've got to take out an asteroid. I've got to blow up an asteroid.
Guess so. Well, you've got to take out the manufacturing facility.
Right.
Someone cooking chips next door. Sorry, I just got a smell of chips.
Don't know.
Oh, smells good.
I can make some.
Should we go that greasy spoon later?
No.
Ah, shut. You return to the mainland and then rocket out to the asteroid belt. If your own spacecraft has been destroyed, you will have to hire another at a cost of 2,000 kopecks. If you cannot afford this, then you have failed. Well, ours hasn't been destroyed, has it? We just had a spy ray taken away. When you approach the environs of the Drug Runner's asteroid, the command screen on your ship flashes a message. Minefield, surrounding target. You look out to see a thickly clustered globular minefield set around the production asteroid. A very tricky proposition. Will you shoot your way through the mines, or carefully manoeuvre through instead.
Surely if I shoot at mines, I'm going to blow up.
Yeah.
Near me.
Well, if you're far enough away, but also it will alert anyone who's there to the fact that you're there. But I imagine it does say a very tricky proposition.
What, to go round them?
To go round, I should imagine.
Yeah, but, you know, it's DI chance.
DI chance, you've got a lot of shields as well, haven't you? Yeah. And you've got a lot of skill.
Yep.
You've still got a lot of luck.
Although
you have used your luck, so...
Okay, well, I'm going to go round them.
19. You gently nudge your ship between the closely packed mines. Roll 2 dice. If the result is higher or equal than your skill, 351. If it's lower, 370.
So?
6. So that's way lower than your skill, so 370. You make it through the minefield safely.
Yay!
The production asteroid is just a short way off. Turn to 312.
So close.
I do this, Brian.
Don't jinx it. That Gross might come back.
She might.
In a large spaceship with a big gun.
She's
with one eye.
The other one thumbed out by you.
The asteroid is covered with batteries of phasers, and having been alerted to your presence by your passage through the minefield, is using them in an attempt to deprive you of your life. You will have to fight these outer defences before attempting to launch. If you have any smart missiles left, you may launch them.
I have. I've got 2.
For each smart missile, the asteroid will lose 2 shields. By the fact it's saying you, if you have any left, you may launch them, sort of makes me think that maybe we're coming to the sort of end game and you might not need them after this.
Okay.
Because it's basically sort of saying you may as well unload them here.
Okay.
But sometimes they can be little tricksy buggers and it might be saying that knowing that you have a big space battle coming up.
Can I just use 1?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
How many lives does it take?
So normally it will completely destroy the ship, but these asteroid defences, it will only take off 2 of their shields.
And then
it has 6 shields.
And then I have to shoot it.
And then you'll have to shoot it with your phaser.
Okay, well, I might as well use 1 of them.
Yeah.
To take a couple of...
So its shields go down to 4.
Yeah. So I take...
And then, so it fires back at you. Okay. It's got a weapon strength of 9, so I need under 9. Which I get 5. So I take 1 off of your shields. Fire back, and you need to get under 7.
Under 7? No!
You miss. Fire back at you. And I get way over, I get 11.
And yes.
You get 3. So you knock it down to 3 shields.
Take that.
Fire back, and I do get under, I get a 5. To which. Take another one off.
No.
What you
7
want?
Shields.
You've got another smart missile if you want to.
But how many have you got left?
3.
Okay, let's see. So that is.
That's 7. That's equal. You miss.
No!
And I get a 6, 7, 8, 9. I miss as well.
Okay. 4!
Yes. You hit, so I'm on 2 left.
Should I just use it?
That's up to you. I've got to shoot you back first.
Oh, right.
5. Hit ya.
That leaves me 6 shields. So now...
You're on half shields.
I need to get less than 7.
Or just fire a smart missile. It's up to you.
Are you on 1 or 2?
I'm on 2. And it will destroy me. Smart missile.
But then I don't have any smart missiles left. Will there be more ships?
I don't know. This is the choice you have to make, D.I. Chase.
There might be more ships and I've only got 6 shields left.
I think, the way I see it, your shields are the most important because you lose that, you're dead.
Okay.
So...
I will use my smart missile.
You sure, D.I. Chase?
Yeah, and I will destroy you.
Okay, you lock on. to the asteroid, the final asteroid defense gun battery. Press the smart missile button. Launches. Yeah. The homing device ticks away. And then slams into the final weapon of the target. Bang. If you win, you may either dock at the main entrance or one of the few emergency airlocks set into the asteroid's surface.
So I have to choose?
Choose the main entrance or the emergency airlock.
Well, I mean, people know I'm there, right? Because that thing was waiting for me.
There's been a big commotion, yes. Yeah. We do know you're there.
Yeah. But one of the airlocks would bide me a bit more time.
Maybe. Emergency airlock set to the asteroid's surface. Yeah.
But at the same time, do I just want to get in there and get it done?
It's an ODI Chase.
I think I'm going to go...
Oh, no, I keep calling you DR Chase. Yeah. DR Chance, isn't it?
It's okay. It's fine. I will go into the airlock.
Into the emergency airlock. 273. The surface of the asteroid is pockmarked and glowing from your assault. You bring your spacecraft down the spacewalk across the airlock. Once through it, you find yourself at the end of a long zero-gravity tunnel, heading into the bowels of the asteroid. Floating down it, you come across an airtight security door set into one of the walls. It is unmarked. Will you continue down the tunnel, turn to 195, or go through the door?
What's the door going to again?
It's unmarked. Just set into one of the walls.
I think I'm going to go in the door.
Into the door?
Yeah.
Okay. 234. Behind the air door is a room full of pressure suits and emergency air tents. There is nothing here of use inside the asteroid, only out of it. You leave the room and go back down the tunnel. 195. Just a little diversion, pointless. Might be useful to know if you have to make an escape, though, because these are the escape airlocks. So actually, at some point, you might have to come out and it might say, do you want to go inside a door? The tunnel ends in a large cylindrical chamber. Floating in front of you, blocking your passage, is a device constructed of four cubes set in the shape of an X, with a cubic hole in the centre. Bright blue bolts of electricity fly between the cubes through the central hole. With a low hum, it begins to approach. Flashing becomes more frequent and it begins to lash out towards you in great electric arcs. Will you fire at this device with your blaster, try to drive past it, take a flying leap and hit it with your boots and thus, hopefully, send it out of control?
I'm going to jump at it and hit it with my boots.
Nice.
Kung Fu style.
I mean, DI Chance is absolutely...
multi-skilled.
DI Chance basically finessed his way through the rest of the book.
Chase, keep calling me Chase.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
It's because I had a teacher at school called Mr. Chase. Roll two dice. If the result is higher or equal to your skill, blah, blah, blah. You got an 11.
What does that mean?
Oh, it's still under. It's still under. The only way you can fail these skill tests is by rolling 12. You rolled 11.
Right.
But you passed, I believe, 263. Okay. It's sort of amazing how much of an advantage you get just by rolling a 6 on your skill at the start. It really is. The Sentinel spins out of control and dashes itself to pieces against the wall of the chamber. When it's finally stopped sparking, you move past it towards the exit. The exit leads you down another zero-gravity tunnel to a crossroads. You have three tunnels to choose from. Straight ahead, left, or right?
I think I'm going to go straight ahead.
The tunnel ends in an enormous rough-hewn cavern. Through the centre of this cavern, in a line heading to the exit on the other side, hang three metallic spheres,
each adorned with what seem to be large, loop-shaped handles. The rest of the cavern is filled with bulbous creatures devoid of eyes or any other sensory organs bar a set of long tentacles, which they constantly search the zero-gravity space around themselves. We try reaching the other side by jumping from sphere to sphere, or by wending your way through the bulbous creatures. Three bulbous spheres, and I imagine that will be a bit like Hang Tough from Gladiators. You know, we have to swim between them. There are these tentacles just flying through the zero gravity.
Okay, so...
And I would imagine you do not want to touch one of them.
Yeah. I'm going to try and jump.
Jumping from sphere to sphere?
Yeah.
You can wind your way through the bulbous creatures.
But aren't the bulbous creatures tentacled?
Yeah.
But they might...
You're going to try jumping? Yeah. Yeah. You're going to try jumping?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, let's try jumping.
Yeah.
137. And you know what this is. Test your skill.
Okay. I'm ready.
And
three.
You've passed that flying colours. You make it to the first sphere and jump to the next. Test your skill again.
Okay. Five.
You make that one. You make it to the second sphere and jump from the next. Roll two dice, test your skill.
Okay.
And you've passed again with flying colours. 244. You make it to the third sphere. From here, you can easily make it to the other exit. Turn to 3283. Going through it, you find yourself in a large chemical laboratory. Stainless steel and glass apparatus rise on all sides. This must be the factory proper. Here is where most of the Federation's illegal Satterfield D comes from. There's nobody about, so you busy yourself with destroying some of the equipment. While doing this, you notice two exits from the room, a door and a corridor. Which will you take? The door or the corridor?
Why am I leaving the room?
I take it this is after you've... destroyed some of the equipment.
Okay. I think I'm going to... My gut instinct is to go to the corridor.
Okay, corridor 205. The corridor leads to a small storeroom where evidently the finished Satterfield D is packaged prior to shipment to Kethar. Large quantities in both powder and tablet form are present. Take a small amount as evidence, if you wish. Oh, I bet you do. I know what you narcs are like.
So I'm not actually taking it, as in eating it, just taking it.
No, you take it as evidence,
so I'm just
air quotes.
Drugs.
So just put, a nice big bag of Satterfield D. Leaving the store, you go back to the laboratory, through the other exit. Turn to 166. You enter a room which has gravity. Before you is a wide, deep pit spanned by a narrow bridge with no handrail. On the bridge stands a tripedal alien holding electric braces in each of its three paws. It's considering you with three eyes. Thankfully, it has only one mouth, albeit a very large one. Halt, it says. I'm going to put loads of effects on my voice there so I'm sounding like an alien. Halt, it says, and then... Without waiting to see if you do, fires several bolts of electrons at you. If you possess any Satterfield D, turn to 127.
Mm.
Otherwise, 88.
127.
We do.
I knew it was right to pick up those drugs.
You take out a few tablets of the drug and dodge towards the bridge. Bright gashes of electrons dancing around you. When you are close to the alien, you throw the Satterfield D into its gaping, huge mouth and duck back to the door. The monster stops for it, chews a bit, squats on its haunches, and then slips over into the pit.
Yeah!
Turn to 49.
Well, tell you that.
Done. You spangled an alien to death. With the alien vanquished, you cross the bridge and go down the exit corridor, coming shortly to a T-junction. Will you turn left? Oder recht?
I'm going to go left.
Links?
Yes.
Literally the only German I know. The corridor leads you to a tiny cubic room with doors on all of its surface. Each door is a bright shade of red with a little black button set in the centre. Turn to 225. Which door button will you press? Front, back, left, right, down, or up?
Oh, up.
Did you say up, up and left, or just up,
up
and left?
Up and left, I thought.
Up and left. The door opens to an identically cubic room. Turn to 186. So, which door button will you press? Front, back, left, right, up or down?
I'm going to go left.
Left. 381. The door opens to a sumptuous living area. Carpets, modern furniture and diffused light. There is even a trendy folding screen decorated with off-world scenery next to the door. In the wall opposite the door you are standing in is a wide corridor leading to another similarly decorated room. In the corridor stand two identical figures of what must be Blaster Babbitt. Tucked under each left arm is an enormous Vank blaster. Good evening, they say together. Time to die, Fed. Will you blast the left figure, the right figure, or try to think of an alternate course of action?
So, are they the same? Three versions of the same person?
Two versions, they're identical. They speak exactly together. Will you blast the left one?
Are there mirrors or something?
The right one, or think of an alternative course of action?
I think I'm going to think of an alternative course of action.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that then.
Because there might be like mirrors in the room.
Very good idea, yeah. One could be
so
a mirror.
So if I shoot one, it might not be.
Well, exactly, yeah. I think one of them is real and one of them
is
not. So
I'm going to think of an alternative course.
147.
That's very Twin Peaks, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Final episode. Second series.
Oh, I never got that far. No, you should watch that again, actually.
Sure,
no.
It's great.
Yeah. Jump through the folding screen. Babbitt is standing behind it, facing the opposite wall. The two figures were simply reflections of the real Arskill in hiding.
Chance has got it.
You tackle him. The two of you roll across the thick carpet, wrestling and trading punches in hand-to-hand combat. Blaster Babbitt has a skill of 10. Stamina of 8.
Nothing on me. Right, do you go first?
Yeah. So, well, no, we both do it at the same time. It's hand-to-hand. So, I get 15.
And I've got... eight.
So, you've got 20. You smash Blaster Babbitt in his thick face. And he goes down to 6. And you swing for each other again.
Oh, 9.
Blaster Babbitt gets an 11. So, he is on 21. You have got a 9. You're on 21 as well. So, you both parry each other. You both punch each other's fists and go, bugger, that really hurt, but not hurt enough to get wounded.
Okay.
You go again. So Babbitt's got 13, and you are sailing ahead with 8 again. You've got 20 again. So, you knee him right
in the ghoulies.
Right in the ghoulies.
In the ball bag.
Or army ball bag. He says in his piratey, Babbitty voice. Oh, Babbitt has got 11 again, so he's got 21. After you've just done him in the ball bag, that just enrages him.
Oh, no.
He flings towards you. Swings a left hook right in your jaw.
Oh, no.
Jaws you right out, so take 2 stamina off, please.
13.
Are you going to retaliate? Oh, Babbitt's got snake eyes. He's got 12 in total. You've got 21. Again, you take that jaw. You just give him, I don't know, what do you want to give him? A roundhouse kick? Uppercut? Yeah, I like that.
Uppercut.
And
his nose.
Oh! Put him down to 4. He doesn't like that.
3.
He's got 7, so he's got 17, and he does you again. You've got 12.
So that's 15.
15, yeah. You uppercut him, and as he's going back, he just sort of Bruce Lee backflips.
Mm.
And just kicks you in the chin as he goes back.
So I take 2 off.
Take
stamina.
2 more off, yeah.
Stamina?
Yeah.
I'm on 11. Okay.
Blaster Babbit rears up again. He's got 10. 3. He's got 20. Yeah, he's got a total of 20, and you've got a total of 15. He does your second time. He just does 2 backflips on the trot.
2 more.
2 more stamina off.
Not good. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, chance. No.
Oh, you've got snake eyes. DI chance. He's done you again. What are you on?
7 now.
Oh, 7. He's on 4.
No.
Come on, you've got to roll better than this, DI chance. You can't let Blaster Babbit beat you.
Right, 6.
And I've got 6 as well. So you've got 2 more stamina. 16 versus 18. Oh, he's just been backflipping you in the face. He tries to backflip you again. And Chance just grabs his ankle. As he just does it, slams him to the floor. He's on 2 left. He's really dazed now.
So that is 5, 6, 7.
Blaster Babbit's got 4, so that's 14 versus 19. Your 19. How are you going to finish him? So he's on the floor. I reckon you just stamp on his head.
I did the eye last time.
Yeah. You grabbed his ankle as he tries to Bruce Lee backflip you, slam him onto the floor, and then just stamp on his head.
Brilliant.
Bam. Defeat him, turn to 400. Bryony. With the capture of Blaster Babbit, you have wiped out the leadership of the criminal organization. Congratulations. You have smashed the drug ring. Your mission is a complete success.
Yes!
For the first time ever, you've completed it. On your first I ever go for it.
That is quite a spectacular.
And you didn't even use
victory.
Your extra life. And it's going to sound like because you're my wife, we've engineered that. But you've actually just absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, despite the inherent sexism of the book. A woman, DCI Chance.
Just DI, she's not.
DI Chance has...
She might get promoted to DCI.
Okay, but more importantly, she smashed the patriarchy literally in the head.
Yeah.
And has blasted
well done.
His ball bag Babbit into the galaxy, never to be found again. And she's left with all of these amazing things. So I still have
She's still got all
loads
her pet
of skill.
Pills. She's still got loads of dosh.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I can't believe you did it. And I wasn't rooting for the narc.
Yeah, but you are now because of the skill, the level of skill.
I mean, you did do well. I got to give it to you. That was well good. Well done.
Thank you very much, Tom. I enjoyed it very much.
Should we have a cup of tea?
Yeah, why not?
Crikey, she only went and did it, didn't she? Annoying, to be honest, that of all the people, the first to crack it is my wife. But there we go. DI Chance, or DI Chase as I kept inexplicably calling her, has cracked the intergalactic drug ring and restored peace to the Aleph system. Well, bloomin' done. Thanks as ever to Sophie Wise for the artwork, and thanks to you for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you on the next one. Cheers.